This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We have got a doozy for you this week. We are talking with Nicole Cook, and she is part of a bridge management or event company, and she's here to explain about her scoring system, which we've actually had a tutu on, haven't we, Barry?
We have.
We're just going to get a brief background on Nicole, and she's going to explain to us about why they came up with this scoring program on your phones and what the future like. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, nice to be here with you today.
Hey, there'll be quite a few people in the Waikato that will remember your parents or even yourself playing here. Ellen and Denise Barclay, for anybody that's wondering. Am I allowed to mention their names?
Yes, my maiden name is Barclay, and I played bridge for 10 years, I think, before I left the country to marry a guy I met on the internet and ended up in England.
Wow.
Ellen was a bit of a mover and shaker back in the day. Did a lot of stuff for bridge in the Waikato Bays region. It sounds like Nicole's, can I say she's a chip off the old block, do you think, Mariana?
I'm kind of happy to hear you say that, because I'm full of ideas. And being back in New Zealand now, I feel more like a chip off the old block, because that was my dad and I'm full of ideas. And in England, ideas aren't always the best thing. They're quite traditional. I have to say, I've got a bit of a heart murmur when you say, it's a bad thing to say heart murmur, palpitation when you say I'm a chip off the old block. Thank you.
Actually, this isn't the, we've got you on to talk about your father, but although he was full of ideas and always wanting to do stuff, it wasn't always received as well as he would have liked. But that didn't
stop
him.
Oh, do tell. You got to elaborate on that, Barry.
When anybody comes up with a new idea, like the Thames Bridge Festival, he came up with a lot of stuff that he did. He used to work for the Waikato Times, and he used to have a bridge column, a weekly bridge column, and that was one of the things. Not that there were any objections to that as such. You know, when he came up with new ideas, it wasn't always easy to get things moving in the Waikato Bays either. So he was nothing if not persistent.
Lovely.
I don't know whether I should say this either, but he came up with this thing, and this was not my idea. He got me to run this sort of Swiss Pairs event where I would just go around, look at what people were doing, and then talk to them about the hands up. He called it the Jones Day Out, actually, what he called it. That was his name. Yeah, and that went for a few years. It was quite successful. People loved it. That was one of the many things.
Hamilton Bridge Club event?
No, it was a Waikato Bays regional event.
Ah,
I think it was right. I think it was usually held at the Matamata Bridge Club, which was sort of a bit more central than Hamilton.
Okay. The Jones Day Out. Oh, my God. See, you are ancient.
That's true. That's true. Well, as just saying to Nicole, not only did I know her father and her mother, I actually knew her grandmother as well. So starting to go back in time.
Well, there you go, Nicole. Those grey hairs on his head, they're all worthwhile.
What? Part of them came from the Barclay family, some of those grey hairs.
I want credit for at least one of them, please.
You can have
and across
two.
The table, I hope. I hope I gave at least a couple of head-scratching moments to you, Barry. And we played across the table a few times. Not as partners. I don't think we've ever played together, but we've certainly played as competitors and opponents on occasion.
So part of your trip over here was you played at the Thames Festival with Karen Harris?
I had an amazing time at the Thames Festival. It was, again, another heart moment, because it was my dad's festival, and he created the festival for the very purpose of people having a good time. My dad was all about people learning to play bridge so they could play it. And at the Thames Festival, I met women and blokes who were there because they love bridge. It's a great weekend for having a weekend away, be it with your bridge partner or a time up on the coast, and good food, nice weather, and somewhere else to be and play bridge. So I was quite delighted. I heard from many opponents that I met that they were there for the very reason Dad created that tournament. Awesome.
Carol Gregg and the team did a magic job. So
they did a magic job. The food was amazing.
Okay, so let's talk about IBE score.
Yes.
How did you come up with this? Where did it come from?
So I live and work in England and have done so for the last 20 or so years. And in the last 10 years, I've been a director, which basically means I've put my bridge playing to one side in order to be available on a freelance basis to organise bridge games for clubs, individuals, privately. And I have on occasion been welcomed to tournaments around the world as an organiser. And when COVID happened in England, bridge stopped overnight. Everybody was at home, locked in their houses, and there was no bridge anymore. So we spent 6 months from 8 a.m. till 10 at night helping bridge players get online. So we were literally on the phones, on the emails, figuring out BBO, and then it moved on to Real Bridge. After that, everybody played online in England for pretty much 18 months. And we kind of did so well and we were so busy that we became a company due to UK laws and making everything as it should be. And as people started to stop playing online and move back into the community, we liked our group of five internationals who got together to be directors. And we said, what can we do to keep helping the bridge community and stay in business working together? And so we thought, well, you know what, there's alternatives out there to the pen and paper technology and the BridgeMate technology. And so what we did was we licensed a product that we not really, to be fair, had time. It had been in the market for 10 years or so, but none of us had really had time to look at it properly because we were out in the market working as directors. And so we licensed it and have taken it upon ourselves to learn it, study it, understand it, and develop it. And now we're eagerly marketing it to the world as a bridge scoring product where individuals can use their phones, their iPads, their tablets, whatever they have that's electronic, to score bridge and make it nice and easy for directors, scorers, as well as players to get the technology they need to score their game.
So we had a little sample of it at the Hamilton Bridge Club last night, and I'm a bit of a Luddite, aren't I, Mariana? Even I could manage it. It was pretty straightforward. And what impressed me was, as long as one person at the table's got a phone or a device, that's all you need.
Absolutely. And even more so than that, I would suggest that any club that's interested or is using the device asks their players for old devices or for their family, and you keep a few in the cupboard and charged up so that if it turns out that everybody left their phone at home that night, you've still got the means to score on a device. It very quickly and easily connect to a Wi-Fi or somebody's mobile hotspot without a problem.
Now, I reckon the odds of nobody at the table having their mobile phone on them at any point in time would be long odds.
Less than zero? Yes. I agree. Everyone's checking something, right? Be it the news or the football scores.
Yeah.
Somebody's checking what the All Blacks are doing or whatever. It's more of a problem to stop people having their phones at the table than it is to have them there.
Well, that's the upside of IBU Score. It doesn't interfere with any of that. You can literally switch from one activity to the other. You can take a phone call. The biggest problem is if somebody's in the middle of a WhatsApp conversation they don't want to share with the table, they probably need to kind of, you know, close their phone, wait till the end of the hand, and then open it again to do their scoring or check the rankings.
What about security? Somebody's bound to say, oh, it won't be secure, people can cheat, rah, 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 rah. What do you reckon about that?
It is true. If somebody wants to cheat, as a director, I have a slightly different approach. And as a company, we would support clubs to manage the process of cheating in a different way. And that is that if players are prone to doing that, then it's a club attitude and policy dealing with the player. So yes, players can cheat and they're always going to be able to cheat. We can't stop them cheating. It is no different to them putting a score into a BridgeMate or writing it on the Traveller and then sending a message across WhatsApp to their friends saying, well, this is what happened on that Traveller. It's the equivalent. It's no better or worse in that regard.
What about the cost, Nicole? What's it going to cost if people are interested in this, if they decided they wanted to go with this?
It depends. It depends what they're looking to do with the services. If the club is affiliated and is looking to have specialised services, I call them specialised because not every club in the world is affiliated, and therefore some clubs like to play their game, look at their scores, go home, and that's it. If clubs are interacting with an affiliated organisation, they will have muster points and they will have restrictions on what they can do. They will have movement requirements, and we charge for that. And there's all different subscriptions available. The website is quite clear about what we offer. And anybody who's got a particular need or interest is very welcome to contact us. If the club is simply playing and putting the results together at the end of the evening, there is no charge to use the scoring app.
Wow.
So as far as master points go, so if somebody does want to, is interested in going the whole hog using this scoring program and wants to use it, obviously, for getting master points allocated, is that doable or going to be doable?
100%. We're in talks with at least 3 countries at the moment. It's really, to be honest, the only stumbling block is the willingness of the affiliated organisations to change. They have a system, and as long as we can interact with it, then it is available to all.
Right.
Okay.
Quite like the setup, Barry. Did you like it? The way that it appeared on the phone, it's similar to the laptop version of scoring, and we have some clubs here that do have laptops. It certainly was easy to navigate through.
It was. Once you got used to whatever that button is that you have to keep on using.
The refresh button.
That gives you all these options. It gives you rankings and results. And that. Well, I mean, the director can use it as well, obviously, to adjust boards and all that sort of stuff. Once you got used to knowing that that was the go-to button, it seemed fairly straightforward, really.
Mm.
One of the reasons that we were quite excited by this product in the very beginning was that we were coming to appreciate that clubs were having to close because not only were they maybe losing their venue, they were also struggling with finding directors. Directors were liking to direct online and didn't want to go back face to face. And this product is really handy if a director isn't at the venue. So it can be set up from any person anywhere, even though the players are not with the director. So it's a remote service as well as a in-the-club service, and it's a very quick and easy setup. The other thing about this product is that it is intended to be a self-study product. We offer online training where you can demonstrate one-on-one with us, but there are videos and training technical manuals for those. So there's options depending on your preference for how you learn. And we've worked very hard to make it so that it's user-friendly without having to have one person in the club know what's going on. Anybody at any time can review the training material and get up to speed quite quickly.
It sounds like you, Barry.
What's the reaction been since you've been back here with this? I don't know how many clubs you've talked to or how many people you've talked to about it.
I'm here on personal reasons. I'm not here to talk about my app in this country. Ah. I'm not on a sales trip.
You can't avoid it.
But when in Rome.
Our strategy as a company is not to go out and sell this product. Our goal is to be found on the internet when a club is looking for a solution like this. So our strategy is not going out to clubs and selling the product. It is my experience that it's nothing to do with the product. It is just that clubs, if it ain't broke, they won't fix. So we are encountering challenges to change, which has nothing to do with the product. So the answer to your question is, the customers who have found us love the product. They're looking for it, and it is the solution they are opting for.
Yeah, and I can see that.
If that's familiar to you in Bridge, full stop.
As simple as when we decided that we'd go from spoken bidding to written bidding, I mean, it was like the world was coming to an end, you know.
You understand where I'm coming from.
Well, the same thing, we went to electronic scoring from paper scoring, you know. I mean, it was like a nightmare. People were mortified.
Yes, I remember when I was in Palmerston North, someone said, I refuse to play and use the Red Devils. And then within a couple of months, it's the norm. They want to play, you have to use the Red Devils. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So reality is that this is not trying to change the world. I just have a solution that is proven to work. It is the product of choice by some of the best directors in the world. And obviously statements like that are subjective. I run events and I get paid to run events. My living is made by running events that do not have technology fails. And this is my product of choice. Yeah. And my team, it is our product of choice. So I don't know what bigger endorsement I can give than this is the product I use. If I was hired to run the National Congress, this would be the product I would advocate would successfully run a fantastic tournament. To explain that to a committee who have been doing it the same way for 40 years, because it's a product that works, that we use, and it's a no-brainer to try. It costs nothing. It may have technical merging issues with the current technologies. Some of the problem with that is that the current technologies don't work with modern technologies. They're not new. One of the reasons we charge and we charge more than nothing, two reasons. One is we're actually working backwards. We're having to unravel things to work with some of the systems around the world. And the second thing is that we want to keep bridge free or bridge scoring free for clubs that don't charge or for clubs that don't have all these extra needs. And part of the money we take is about developing for the future and keeping the product free for those that want to run a team's game with their friends or an individual in their home or whatever they want to do around the world. We strongly believe that bridge is for being played, and it is not a second-class citizen. It is as equal to any game anywhere in the world.
There you go.
I like that. There you go.
What you're saying is you only want to sell it to people that want to buy it, and that seems pretty sensible, really, when you think about it.
Well, and more than that, we want people to pay for it because they love bridge and want everybody to know it, learn it, and enjoy it in the same way.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning. Hey, Gowan. Good morning. I've been wondering all week about that trailer that we did last week. So are you ready?
Yeah.
So this is a directing question. If you are a director and you get called for maybe a hesitation or a misexplanation, something like that, and you have to actually award a result, like a contract and a result and whether it's made or not, how do you do that, Julie? Is it as simple as just looking at what Deep Finesse says? Or what?
It's all what. Sorry, Deep Finesse was probably a bit misleading. It is a frustration that people dive for the sheet to see what Deep Finesse does so they can tell their partner off or they can decide whether they did the right thing or not. And one of the things about when we're playing and we're learning to play, but also as we develop, is about assessing a contract and being able to decide whether we're in a good spot or a wrong spot, and what we're making and what we're not making, and whether where we should be, and those sorts of things. The other thing is that when we ask directors to make rulings about contracts, so if there is damage, and they have to decide if there is damage, and that could be somebody bid to four hearts and went one light, is there damage? Should they have been only in three? Or would they always have bid four? Or what's going on? And how do you figure it out? And one of the answers that you tend to get from people is they look to see what everyone else did. That is sort of okay, but it still isn't the be-all and end-all, because when you go to a table, what they do and how they bid could be completely different to what happened at every other table. So when you go to a table and you're just determining what should have happened, you need to know what happened at that table, what they bid, what was the problem, and where things went south. Deep Finesse is not an indication of bidding in any shape or form whatsoever. It is a computer program that plays really, really well and decides what the best lead and the best play are when you see all four hands and you can play everything perfectly. It has got nothing to do with what happens at the table every single bridge session that we play. And it most certainly does not bid any hands at all. And it is a frustration that when we're dealing with slow play, the slow players haul out that sheet of paper or look at the tablet to see what should have happened, and they're busy having a discussion about it when they should be moving on to the next table. And when things go wrong and we are awarding scores, people are saying, but, and it's got nothing to do with that sheet of paper. It's about what happened at the table.
for the listening that don't know what the hell we're talking about, Deep Finesse is the computer program that works out what's in the little boxes, which says that East can make four hearts or three no trumps or six diamonds or whatever.
Yeah. And it is good. It is really good at playing the hands.
Yeah, but you often get at the table people saying, oh, it says in here that four spades always makes.
I remember when I learned to play, a few things that we try and teach directors to do, match pointing. How do we actually score? What do those scores mean that we get when we compare our score against everybody else that played that board? We need to know how to do that when we are awarding changes of scores or giving people average boards or above average or below average or things like that, which we can do. I remember ticking whether I got a plus or a minus on a board as I played through the night. And at the end of the night, I'd go, oh, bugger, I've only got 40%, and they'd read my name out as first with 65. And the next week I'd come along and say, I've done really well, and I'd have got 37. And I was learning how to assess how I did on the boards that I played. And I learned. Oh. And I learned by having to do it, not by a sheet of paper underneath. Computerization has got some really wonderful things about it. It has some really big downsides when we stop relying on common sense in ourselves or talking to people that might be able to help us, as opposed to using a bit of paper, whether it be what everyone did on that board or what Deep Finesse says. As an example, you get something where someone opens two diamonds and their partner forgets to alert it, and the opponents bid to four hearts to find out one of the hands got six hearts and they never would have bid there. So these things, we come along, and if we can, we award a result that may be a contract with a result, or it may be a combination of things, but we try to get something that might have actually happened at the table. And that something might be completely different to everyone else in the room where the same option did not occur. And looking at what happens or what the play says you should or shouldn't make is not a thing that helps you make good decisions, because it's just not reality.
My personal favourite is when people look at the little thing on the side and says, it says four spades is cold. Nowhere on there does it actually say it was gold. It says on some line of play it's possible to make.
It can take a while to work out, can't it? I mean, you can sit there and you can think, how, you know, and eventually yeah. You do work it out. Sometimes it's straightforward. A lot of the time it is actually pretty much what the real life is. But every now and then it can be really, really hard.
Occasionally it looks impossible. Yeah. But Deep Finesse is always right. It's just that sometimes we can't see it.
And people come up to you and say, how could North be playing it? They've got none of the suit, but Deep Finesse isn't bidding it.
Yes, Deep Finesse doesn't care how you get there or whatever. It just says North's playing it.
Yeah.
This is how many they can make.
It's a frustration, that little bit of paper. It is one of the things that when we're talking about things that go wrong and what may or may not have happened, that when we look at the results of a session, that board may be indicative by what people did or didn't do, but what happened at the table we're dealing with could be completely different. I mean, you look at the number of different systems, Polish Club, Precision, Standard American, 2-1, ECHO, and the variations of all of those, and how every option could be very different.
True.
Yeah, well, you two better both hope you never get to have a game with Deep Finesse, because I don't reckon that Deep Finesse would be a very understanding partner if you went down and something.
I don't think. If you're allowed to look at all the cards when you're bidding and playing, then maybe you might be able to calculate it.
That's true.
It might take a while.
It might take a while, yep.
Okay, Julie, you're not in the Deep Finesse fan club, I can see that.
No, but, for a lot of different reasons, a lot to do with teaching, a lot to do with what I hear at the table, most of it dealing with slow play, because people have to stop and talk about what this thing says when it's got no basis in reality.
I guess it's sort of a starting point, but I suppose you have to look at it and think, okay, how realistic is it to get to three no trumps with 22 points opposite one? Because sometimes you can make three no trumps, but nobody's ever going to bid it.
That's right. And sometimes you let the opponents make three no trumps because you make a perfectly reasonable opening lead, because you don't get to see all the hands before you make that lead.
That's right. If you're on lead with Queen Jack 10X of hearts and three spades to the jack, well, you're probably going to lead the queen of hearts. But sometimes a low spade will be right.
And there we have it. Lead a low spade, says Barry, against three no trumps.
See how that works.
Well, I don't have the post-mortem will go if I'm wrong.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's Barry's fault.
Alrighty, well, thank you for your time.
Bye.
Okay, so you've got something to say, Barry?
Do you think it's really a thing, Mariana, the commentator's curse? Do you think it's really a thing? Because I just can't wait.
What?
I want to talk about something and I'm worried if I'm going to put the mockers on it.
No, go on.
Okay, most amazing thing. Sonia Crawford from the Matamata Bridge Club is 96 years old and she has started the countdown to Grandmaster. And yeah. I don't want to put the mockers on her, but she only needs 6 more 8 points. She's on target to do it before she gets to 97, which is in March, I think. Now, for all of those bridge players out there who reckon they're never ever going to get to Grandmaster, Sonia Crawford, I reckon, is going to get there somewhere around her 97th birthday.
What a hoot.
The thing is, you've got another 30-something years to go.
Haven't I? Wow.
All of those people out there who are under 97, you're still a chance to make it to Grandmaster.
Woot, woot.
Everybody's really excited about her getting there. She had her 90th birthday back in 2017, and it went on for a week, Mariana. They had one at the Bridge Club and one at her house and one somewhere else, and they drank lots of wine and ate lots of food, and it just went on forever. So I don't know what's going to happen if she makes it to Grandmaster. I reckon there'll be some sort of explosion.
So she's going to play tournament after tournament?
This is a funny story. I think I can say this. She was going to play at the Tauranga Congress, but she has to go to her daughter's birthday party. Her daughter is turning 70, Marianne.
What a hoot. Anyway,
we'll start the countdown. Why not? Commentator's curse be damned.
Yeah, I reckon. Okay, so to end the show, we have got a competition and we have up for grabs Zia Mahmood's latest book as a prize. And what you have to do is you have to go to ibescore.com and enter the competition. And there's a key, Barry, a secret key.
I know what the key is.
Well, you can ask the question then.
They have to name the person that we spoke to from IBE Scorer.
That's pretty easy.
They just have to listen to the Bridge Zone. It's all on there.
Go there, ibescore.com. We're going to hold the competition over a couple of weeks and we'll have a book from Zia. What's the book called again?
Bridge, a Love Story. Sounds a bit soppy, doesn't it? But it won't be, not if it's Zia.
Yeah, so I think that's fantastic. I like reading his books.
Quickly before we go, on the weekend, not many tournaments happening, but I noticed the Warkworth have got a restricted pairs. It's all booked out, Mariana. Too late. Can't go. They've got 16 tables and they can't fit anymore. Good to see.
Yeah, very good. Don't forget, enter the competition. We're expecting lots of clicks. Everybody loves a freebie. And we'll be back here again next week. See you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.